From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Will O'Hearn is the director of the Eugene Public Library. In his two-year tenure, he's seen a building full of activity and information close its doors. O'Hearn talks about the wide range of experiences and materials still available to the public in the library and the inevitable changes to libraries the pandemic has caused now and into the future. In your short tenure, the Eugene Library and the larger library world has gone from the public entering and checking out materials to a shutdown and partial reopening, among other things. So I'd like you to start, if you would, with what is the future of browsing the shelves for something to read?
I think that there will be a lot of emphasis in terms of how you can give the collection the feeling of folks being able to browse virtually. So I think folks will still want that access. People still want browsing these days. But what we're going to probably have to find a way to do is how people can do that in a way that feels like you're in the stacks, gives you that feeling, because it's really special to be in the stacks, searching, getting kind of lost. I think there's got to be a great way that we can find a way to do that virtually. You see, even before this time, libraries were working on doing kind of like different ways to make it seem more a platform to make it kind of in that way where you see kind of books on a bookshelf. The Dewey Decimal System was created in a way where there's serendipitous browsing allowed in there, and that's not something that's always afforded to you when you search online. So how do we create it so you can see, oh, here's this other tangential topic that I might be interested in as well? For me, I think that highlights the big thing with libraries that'll be moving forward is that it's not or, it's and. So how do you create great physical services and great virtual services in tandem that coordinate with each other and play off each other in an elegant and beautiful way? I think that, to me, is one of the big takeaways you'll maybe hear me say here a lot is it's not or, it's going to be a lot of and. How do we create physical services and virtual services that complement each other and make sure everyone has access?
In your other conversations with librarians around the world and around the area, are you being presented with software that's kind of virtual tours of libraries, or are those programs being developed that you're kind of having fun playing library video games? How's that working?
I like the idea of a library video game. Maybe someone out there, and maybe that's something even in libraries where we see is kind of the how do you gamify libraries, things like that. It'd be a great way folks could find out how to use the library. But to me, I think I've seen them in the past. I'm sure right now they're being worked on very hard, because right now a library is kind of all wrapped up with mostly just making sure that we have safe services and how do we get information access to folks right now. But my guess is that's going to be something we see a lot of interest in here in the very near future. It can be a full immersive experience rather than one that feels clunky and at best like a virtual tour. So I think there's going to be emphasis on how we can do that. I remember seeing those a couple years ago, and I'm sure we'll see more of them as we come down the road here.
Right now, it's pretty easy if you know more or less what you want. You can go into the catalog, at least in the Eugene system. You can go into the catalog and you can reserve a book, and a few days later you can get it. But I'm wondering if you are getting more calls, perhaps, to the librarians, who I know there are people answering the phones, for someone who doesn't really have that either sophisticated understanding or really know what they want. They really want, part of what they want to do is have someone give them suggestions. Are you getting a lot more of those interactions with the public?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we have a number of different ways folks can do that. So some folks, before we had kind of the freeze restriction, we had something called counter service where you could actually come in because we know people were craving that interaction, that experience where you could be what we call in the business reader's advisory, where we advise you for your next great favorite book or the best book we could find to help you find your puppy or whatever it is that you're kind of looking for. So we actually had a service where you could still come in and be able to utilize that. With the freeze and now the restrictions, that's something we haven't been able to do, but we're looking forward to bringing that back, where people could still have that experience where they could talk to somebody in a safe physical environment, plexiglass one at a time, 6 feet distance from everyone, where they could still have that, and we would pull the item for you on the spot. The big thing we try to do is open our doors virtually as wide as possible during this time. And that's one way that we could do that, is give people the experience of still having that reader's advisory. To your question and point earlier, is yes, we are having a lot more phone calls coming in, like thousands of phone calls come in, where people are looking for, they're not just looking for that reader's advisory. Yes, they are looking for that, and that does help as well. But they're also looking for that personal connection with someone to kind of know them, understand who they are as well. So they're just calling to talk a little bit and kind of get to know, and then that's a great way to talk about books, things like that. The other thing that we're doing is we have a What to Read Next form on our website. So for folks that can't call in, maybe some folks have a computer, but they work hours where they're not able to call in all the time, they can actually email us and we can kind of help you with a topic of kind of what to read next. So while we don't have that magical browsing experience at this moment because of safety limitations, we are able to try to give them as much of a possible experience toward that, to check that box, scratch that itch, make people feel like they are getting a chance to really get that expertise and help from our library staff, who's really beautiful with our collection. So I think that's something that we've tried hard to do during this time, to pivot. We have gotten a lot more phone calls, and we're finding different ways. A lot of that what to read next is something we're doing. And last but not least, and I know I'm talking a lot here, I'm excited about libraries, as you can tell, we also have a Facebook where we kind of where we go online and kind of ask people there, like, what they're reading and what they want to kind of read next. And we'll even present some books, things like that, where people can see, we can talk about books and kind of talk them up, do a book talk, so to speak. So we've lots of different ways where people can get that need and desire to get great reading recommendations for them in a different way.
Are you doing things like storytelling and programs that you used to hold in the library online?
Absolutely. That's one of the ones we're doing, is we're actually had in October, we had spooky stories where we talked about some of the great books you could have. So we're actually doing things like story times online. We're doing a lot of things for youth, but things for adults as well. We're also doing, where we know we can't necessarily do things in person, where we're having crafts and things, we actually have take-home bags for folks. Where we have STEM kits and bags for folks to be able to take home kind of an activity, because we know folks are also missing those educational enriching activities that we used to do, so we actually have those in place now. Additionally, they were so popular that adults wanted them as well, and so we have some even adult kind of take-home activities that we're seeing the folks that are very interested in. We're also continuing on with a number of our book clubs. You know, social connection right now is really critical. Connecting over media, particularly books, is something that a lot of our folks miss out on, and we're having a lot of luck with our youth book clubs and book groups right now. So there's lots of different things we are still able to give folks. And in fact, another way we're doing presenting some of these programs is we're putting in some of the parks in different places throughout story walks, where we actually have it so you could, as you're walking around the park, you could actually read a story as you go. And that's been very popular as well. We have a number of different ways where we've been able to kind of get that, again, scratch that itch for those traditional services that you might expect with a story time, which, of course, we have online as well. So we're excited about that. And we find a lot of times people watch them afterwards a number of times as well. We'll get pretty good numbers at the point, but we get our really good numbers as people kind of watch them as they need them, kind of on demand.
Where can I find a story in a park?
There's one right by the Pete Barn. There's one also by our Sheldon Library. But there's a number of story walks all around town where you can actually see the story. We have a kind of each page laid out on like a sign or something like that along that. So that's been very helpful. But they've been kind of in partnership and collaboration with some of our folks from recreation and the parks. And so we've kind of utilized that partnership to be able to put them in the parks near kind of some of our other libraries, our community libraries out there.
Cool. There has always been, or for a long time, there has been a conversation that libraries are dying. No one's reading books. Why bother, etc. Are they dying?
This is a data that's, in my history, it does not seem like that's the case. People are saying that people aren't reading anymore, and they had book sales go up about 1% a year. People were saying that. I mean, we had about an 11 in from fiscal year 18 to 19, we had quite a percentage increase, if I'm not mistaken, like an 11% increase in our collection checkout. So we are seeing that there are increasing numbers for that. COVID put a kind of a skewed the stats for our FY20. So those are the most relevant stats that I can share with you, because the other ones are impacted by that. So it's not really a clear sign of what we're doing. But we're still seeing folks accessing those materials in a number of different ways, and that we're still seeing incredible usage on that. And I would argue that the library is, for me, you know, there's kind of the three legs of the stool for what library service is all. It's inclusive, equitable information access, sharing stuff, and a place where all people are welcome. And for me, it's how do we do those things in new and different ways? And yes, it's still going to be books. And I think by the time I pass away, physical books will still be a huge part of what the library does. But it's also about getting people opportunities for maker spaces, things like that. How do people get, we make sure people right now, I have stories of someone who says, I wasn't able to see my bank account in 6 months when we didn't have computer access. People saying, telling me that they only maybe reached out to their family via Facebook once or twice during that 6 month period of time. People tell us that, you know, they weren't able to apply for a job without the library and that they credited us as folks who could help them. Libraries are still being used very, very heavily, particularly during recessions and downturns, which we're kind of in one right now. Libraries are actually typically used more because people are relying on libraries for free, enriching experiences and materials and resources. So I think the reports of our demise have been greatly over-exaggerated, if I can use that. So it's interesting. I think we've actually had, since about the 1850s, when public libraries kind of were happening both tangentially in the United States and in the UK, kind of at the same time, I think it's still equitable, inclusive information access, sharing things with the community, and a place where everybody is welcome. And it's just, to me, it's how do those times shape how we accomplish those goals? And I still think we're accomplishing those goals, those same goals that we were doing in the 1850s. We're still doing them today, almost 200 years later. It's just in different ways in which we have to approach that. And so I think for me, it's the library, you know, since even if you look 30 years ago, has had to reinvent itself, going from books to, you know, online card catalogs, now the internet era, and then even phones have been incredibly disruptive in terms of, you know, in a positive way in how people approach books and literacy. Before, reading online wasn't even really a thing, or e-audiobooks. In the past 10 years, cell phones have really changed the way we approach things. Our virtual checkouts are up 70% since last year during the time we were closed, and they still have remained at a 50% increase in resources. 10 years ago, without really cell phones being the case they are, that really wouldn't have been a sustainable way in which we approach things. So the way that the libraries have adapted to our changing environment, we're just going to continue to adapt them over and over again, and we'll still go through with those three legs of the stool again: inclusive, equitable information access, sharing things, and a place where all are welcome. And so for me, I still think that libraries are really, really important, and maybe even particularly more important right now that we see how important information access is.
One of those stools that you've mentioned is that everyone is welcome. And I know certainly before the physical Eugene Library was closed, and I know in other places as well, there's a lot of people that go there just to hang out. They don't have any place to go. It really has become, in some ways, a social service agency, one of the largest, and not necessarily funded to do that, nor trained to do that. And my understanding is that certainly some libraries are actually hiring social workers. I'm just wondering where you see that piece of the stool happening when the building is opened again for kind of these services that aren't necessarily or even at all strictly about information.
Right, and I think that that's one of the things I think that libraries are going to have gotten into and will continue to, we'll dig into more here as partnerships with our community on how we can turn outward and how we can assist with those social services and become part of an even better part of the network. A lot of the social services are kind of webbed together, and so we can kind of help be that part of that ecosystem. We can be some of the mortar that holds folks. When we see folks come into our facility who might be struggling, we can help direct them to those resources and partner with places, partner with other social organizations to help provide those services. We did have a partnership with Whitebird just previous to when I actually came here about 2 years ago, where they got a grant and actually had a social worker in the library. You're seeing a lot of the really important ones aren't libraries. A lot of the ones that are working well aren't libraries necessarily hiring their own social worker, but partnering with those other agencies to have folks come in and help out with that. Because it is, again, a social web, a network, a web of help out there, and the library is an important part of that. So how do we fulfill our place as a place where people can help get some of those resources, and we can do our part by giving them the equitable, inclusive information access to make sure people are aware of all the different resources that they have available to them. And I think that's something else that libraries can really help with and have helped with in the past and will continue to become more important as we move forward.
Anything else you can think of you want to add here that we have not touched on?
You know, I think for me, one of the things that I'd really like to touch on is that libraries to me in the past, right before the pandemic, there was a big stress and you saw more and more, and you're seeing this like I talked about with ebooks and e-audiobooks, things like that, where now you're seeing where e-audiobooks are probably more the gold standard in terms of what people use rather than our traditional audiobooks, which would be like on CD or things like that. So you're seeing a shift of that happen. And so for me, you're seeing more and more things. How do you find to make an experience online? Because people can find stuff online more and more. You're able to go, you don't have to go into a store. You can just go on Amazon or wherever you want to go and purchase something. And so the library was people coming to the library, which we were still getting good people coming through. Good attendance was people were looking for that experience. Now with the way the pandemic has changed things, I think people will still be looking for an experience, but how do you create that experience online? So I think like things with streaming, when I think of our programming, this is again that it's not or, it's and. How do you create streaming experiences that are that feel like you're a part of something that you couldn't get anywhere else? I think that's really critical. I also think that we're also about sharing experiences in the way that before we would come to get together and gather and do things, we could provide some of that material for you. A lot of libraries are doing kind of something called Library of Things. We could even focus on, well, that's where you actually check out unique items. That would be the library way to say checking out unique items you wouldn't normally think of the library, like baking pans, yard tools, some technology, things like that. So we could even, I think it's important for the library to be able to make the way we share experiences have to be safe. And I think that's really critical through the lens of COVID. We're looking at digging down into Library of Things more and seeing how we can check out those items that could give people different experiences they might not be able to as they recover. We have to dig into the sharing economy a little bit more of people, instead of everyone having to purchase something, because resources might be limited for folks out there. We can purchase something where you can, instead of you having to take a big jump, let's say you want to get into bird watching, the library could kind of check out a kit to you with, you know, and I don't know anything about bird watching, so you'll have to excuse my ignorance on this, but we could check out, you know, binoculars to you, a book about bird watching, a call or something for people that would be able to, you know, they could click it, get birds to come, and even a librarian that would, a library employee that knows a lot about bird watching could outfit it with something to say, here's some great spots throughout town you could do bird watching. So how do we share those experiences in new and different ways, I think is really critical for us to look and approach things. Giving people those experiences to learn more, do more, and be more, I think is just really critical for us as a whole. The other thing is I think we have to just continue to look to eliminate obstacles for use. We've been working hard to make sure that all students have library card access. That's something that's really critical for us. We want to make sure that people have access to lots of different voices out there. Library's always been about your kind of window to the world, and this might be the only way you can travel is through your library this time. But we've always been about sharing new voices, experiences, and perspectives. And I think that's really critical for where we are as a community and as a society here in the United States, is hearing from different voices and getting new experiences through that. I think that's really a critical thing right now. And so one other component I think the library is going to be an important part is being an equalizer, creating equity for technology. I think when we saw the virtual divide in the past, people typically think of that as being age-related, the digital natives versus the folks who may not be a digital native. And I think you're seeing that go from age because everyone at this point is kind of diving in and learning all sorts of technology. But I think you're seeing that being pushed to a socioeconomic level of the folks who have and don't have. You see some of our youth these days are being able to fly drones and computer programming and creating their own video games, where some folks don't even have access to the internet or phones or anything. Or if they do know how to use technology, it is simply just a phone, not a computer. And so you're seeing this huge gap between the folks who the haves and the have-nots. And I think it's really critical for the library to be able to help be the equalizer, create equity for technology as well, and help bridge that digital divide in a new, different way. I think you're seeing that happen as well. And I think the library is a critical player in how we can make sure that everyone has that inclusive, equitable access to those materials and resources that can help people. You never know, the next great 3D printer might come out of Eugene because they were interested in something at the makerspace here and kind of got into it, and they might not have the resources to do it on their own, but through the library they were able to figure out how it works, get some skills for it, connect with people who are interested in it, and I think that's really critical that we help shepherd folks towards that way and make sure everyone has that inclusive, that equitable access to technology, because I think that's where you're seeing that digital divide happen these days more.
Thank you very much for your time, Will. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.